You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to what promises, what is guaranteed to be a powerhouse night of talk radio this Saturday evening, October the 16th. We're live here on TPC. I'm your host, James Edwards, and listen to what we have coming your way over the course of the next 3 hours. Program mainstays, Jared Taylor of American Renaissance and the great and good Dr. Kevin McDonald will be returning to the show to offer commentary on a variety of topics that are sure to pique your interest. But first, we have completely turned the normal agenda of any given program on its head tonight so we could get back the one and only Patrick Dean O'Ryan. Now, I know that Patrick was just with us as recently as a couple of weeks ago. A couple of reasons for bringing him back so soon. Number one, his talent demands it. And the response that we got from his last appearance demands it. But there's more than that. There is a story out there that I had to touch on this week, and Patrick was really the only man for the job. When I saw this story and I determined to talk about it, I said, we got to have Patrick or it's just not going to fly. That is because, of course, Patrick Dean O'Ryan is the former Sirius XM and Fox Sports host. So he has a background in sports. We talked about that the last time he was on back in late September. But there is a story going on out there, really a media manufactured story, as I like to call it, involving the erstwhile coach of the Los Angeles, now Las Vegas Raiders, John Gruden. And it really has not so much to do, our coverage of it at least, has not so much to do with Coach John Gruden as it does what this means in terms of our media, or should I say their media, and societal trends at large. But it is a quote-unquote scandal that is currently roiling the NFL, and to break us down is this man who has a professional background in sports broadcasting, now doing his own show and incredible work covering familiar issues. It's Patrick Ryan. Patrick, how are you?
James, it's great to be back with you and to be with the company of guests that you're going to have on your show tonight. It's great to be included with such great people, and I want to say hello to your audience again and thank you for inviting me back onto your show. I'm glad to be here.
Well, thanks for coming back on with us so quickly. So PatrickRyanShow.com, it's one of the few, I got to tell you, folks, it's one of the few content creators that I actually go and watch. You don't have time to watch them all. There's a lot of people doing great work. They're all worthy of a voice. They're all worthy of an audience. But there's a few people like Jason Kuna, like Tim Murdoch, like Patrick Ryan that I take the time as a personal fan to go out and watch. And indeed, to no surprise, Patrick, you were covering this story. And you've had a lot to say about it. So without further ado, let's just set the table in the most AM radio friendly way possible. Let's set the table on what's going on with John Gruden and why it is of interest to people like me and you.
All right. Well, I've thought about this a lot. I've spoken about it on my own show in a lot of ways, and I've got a lot of things to say about this, and I hope we have some time to talk about this, James. And because it is an important story, and John Gruden, the aforementioned, as you mentioned, John Gruden, who has now become the latest venomous white parasitic devil put on the griddle and charged with seemingly unpardonable crimes that, in my way of thinking, only a mentally defective imbecile would take seriously. This is yet the latest example of a once mighty professional sports league dying its slow death. And extinction seems to be the overall objective, as far as I'm concerned, for the National Football League. And I've talked about this ad nauseum throughout the years. Now, let's consider the factors that went into this latest example of what I'll refer to as NFL hilarity combined with hypocrisy and extreme double standards. 10 years ago, John Gruden, while then working as a broadcaster for Monday Night Football on ESPN, sent a private email to a guy by the name of Bruce Allen, who was then the president of football operations for the Washington Redskins. Now, Gruden, like many people, including myself, has been disgusted with the direction and the lack of leadership in a league that, ever since Roger Goodell has become the commissioner, is a league that has gone to hell in a handbag for an innumerable number of reasons. Now, let's consider exactly what John Gruden said in some of these emails, that seem to split the NFL in half. And I'm actually surprised, James, that the league hasn't decided to cancel this weekend's upcoming games so that people can take a deep breath while also seeking all kinds of medical therapy for all of the aggrieved as the result of this utter nonsense.
That may sound like a joke, people, but that's actually well within bounds of what I could have foreseen happening as a result of this completely, again, media-manufactured controversy.
Yeah, this is a manufactured story. You hit the nail on the head when you said that. Now, on the television network I just mentioned before, on ESPN, those John Gruden emails were apparently so soul-crushing to former NFL player Randy Moss, who is now an analyst on ESPN, that Moss, and I would encourage people to go to YouTube to see it, that Moss actually seemed to have a nervous breakdown on national television while at the same time winning an Academy Award for acting by sprouting tears, actually, James, tears. It was an epic Academy Award-winning effort, believe me.
And just to, Patrick, I've got to say, just to accentuate the point you're making here, these are ostensibly grown men, modern-day gladiators. I mean, American football players, this is a rough sport. It's a manly sport. Crying. And really what he said, we'll get into this. We've got the whole hour to develop this. But what he said was really not – it was really milquetoast. Even by today's hyper-insensitive standards and the delicate sensibilities of the protected classes, there wasn't a lot of there. But continue.
It was a complete acting job, totally. Now, let's consider America, present day, land of the lost, unlike any time previous in its history. America had a collective mental breakdown over these emails, private emails, I'll again remind the audience, that Gruden sent, that stated, among other things, that he had no use for NFL Players Association chief DeMora Smith, who he referred to as dumb, but then he had the audacity to sarcastically mention that DeMora Smith has big lips, which, in fact, he does. It's true. He does have big lips. Many black people have big lips. This isn't an opinion so much as it's a damn fact, but as I noted on my radio show the other night, James, there are a lot of white people who have big lips. There's a lot of Asian people who have big lips. There's a lot of Hispanic people who have big lips. And speaking of white people who have big lips, can anyone say Mick Jagger as an example of what I'm talking about? Okay? Now, those thought crimes that I've mentioned up to this point, they're just the beginning for John Gruden, this sinner. John Gruden, who the woke cult has cast into the fiery pit of hell. He also stated in another few emails that Gruden sent, he said that he didn't necessarily approve of the NFL's woke culture as it pertains to having women officials calling games, which is something that I believe that if you polled each and every head coach in the league, that the majority of them would say that they don't like it either. Okay, but those emails from those other coaches have yet to surface, and of course they wouldn't say such a thing publicly because their career would be over. I hear the music, and I know we've got to go to a break, so I'll continue on the other side.
What a pro. Look at this guy. Hey, if you want to know just how pro of a pro this guy is, he's all pro at PatrickRyanShow.com. Folks, I don't like to list the people that I love. I mean, Henrik and Lana at Red Ice. There's so many good content creators, so if I didn't, when you start listing, you always leave out people you want to remember. And we talk to all of them, but PatrickRyanShow.com, you got to watch the work this guy's doing. We'll be right back. And he does it on video, too.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Recent studies show that parents who smoke in the home are more likely to have children who smoke.
Yes, in fact, my brother, he's 22 now, he told me and my father that's why he started smoking. One of the reasons why he started smoking is because my dad was around, you know, and they saw my dad smoking. My dad said, okay, I don't want you to smoke. I don't want you to, you know, watch what I'm doing.
Recent studies also show that in homes where parents don't smoke, their children usually don't smoke either.
I am the way I am because my grandparents taught me what not to do. They gave me morals. They gave me belief. They gave me something to believe in. They just taught me well. I love them. I do.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
We're back, everybody, with Patrick Ryan, patrickryanshow.com. They're now approaching 2 years on the air in this capacity. Patrick, it's a fusion show. He talks sports, culture, politics, interviewing a lot of the people that you might even hear here on TPC, coming at it from our point of view, guys. He's doing an incredible job, and he's bringing all that talent that he had with Fox and Sirius and these other very much mainstream organs and applying it for the good guys. It's an incredible thing to behold. You need to make it a bookmark in among your views and your regular rotation, patrickryanshow.com. So this is a story, this John Gruden story. I mean, of course it's a sports story, and it's certainly the biggest story in professional sports this week. It got the Urban Meyer lap dance story. I blew that right out of the news. But which I didn't think was a story, you know, even in that wasn't a story. But this one, of course, has the political teeth you can sink into. But it's been much more than that, Patrick. This is something, if you've opened up any browser, CNN's covering it. Fox is covering it. Everybody's covering it. It really, I think, may be the biggest political story in the country this week. So, again, just to, very quickly for anybody who may not have seen this, I'll give you a 60-second background, and we're going to toss it right back to you. So, John Gruden. Now, this is no slouch of a football coach. He won a Super Bowl as the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the early 2000s. Then, as you mentioned, he went on to a decade-long career as a broadcaster for ESPN before he was coaxed back into coaching, where he signed a monster 10-year, $100 million contract to coach the then Los Angeles Raiders, or Oakland Raiders, now the
Oakland Raiders, right?
Yeah, the Oakland Raiders. They changed their place so much. Now they're the Las Vegas. Formerly, he coached the L.A. Raiders many years ago, back with Oakland. Now they're Los Angeles. Anyway, Las Vegas, my God, still same team, though, same franchise. He was into the fourth of that 10-year, $100 million contract when this came out. So this is, again, as you mentioned, decade-old email, private emails that they were able to get when they were investigating the Washington football team over alleged racism and nonsense.
James, please.
Yeah, Redskins. Right,
Redskins.
The former Redskins. Yeah, we can't say Redskins enough. But basically all he said was, I mean, these were the smoking guns. Basically, Gruden complained that you had this black chief who was, in his opinion, dumb with big lips. He complained that the commissioner of the NFL was pressuring franchises to select homosexual players. He complained about Joe Biden being the slang term for a female cat, which basically all it was it was nothing. It was the way normal people talk. This is a guy. The NFL needs more guys like this and less embarrassment, like end racism painted in the end zone. But then what I found fascinating, Patrick, is this thing where everybody's having to weigh in on it. Jerry Jones is being asked about it. Tony Dungy. And I like Tony Dungy's response, okay, I guess. But the fact that you have to go to a black football guy to get absolution for this, Aaron Rodgers condemning it, Skechers dropped him, everybody's dropping him, all of his endorsements are sponsoring him. In the meantime, of course, you've got no shortage of felonious black thugs currently under investigation for domestic abuse and so on and so forth. They can get a job. That's not a problem.
Well, values, right? And the NFL likes to cite what their values are. Corporate America is big into this as well. The values, and as I say on my show all the time, James, this one-size-fits-all value system that we're supposed to kneel and worship to. But, this is a political story. It's a social story. It's got a racial construct to it, all rolled into one. Now, before we broke for the break, I was saying that he said that he didn't like women officials on the field, and I think I said that if you polled most coaches in the NFL, they would agree. Now, personally speaking, I don't like it either. I've stated this at least a million times on my own radio shows, and I'll never come around to liking it. Now, since you talk about a smoking gun, since the end of my show last night and my appearance with you here tonight, I found out something interesting that may very well be what we can refer to as the proverbial smoking gun in this whole sordid spectacle. I invoked the name of NFL Players Association Chief Demora Smith a few minutes ago. Now, in thinking on this further, since this story dropped, before I became aware of this new news, which I'll get to here in a second, it was my belief that this was a hit job on John Gruden, and that someone had an axe to grind with him, and they were determined to undermine him and expunge him from the league, which, of course, is what has ended up happening. Demora Smith was quite possibly on the verge of being outed as the NFL Players Association leader. He was facing a vote as to whether or not the players in the league would choose to keep him around or seek new leadership. Many were thinking that Smith would indeed be outed and replaced by someone else. However, conveniently, just as this vote was approaching, the John Gruden private emails were made public. Of course, the establishment media took this fresh chum in the waters, and they instantly categorized John Gruden as a racist. Further, Demora Smith himself went public with comments instead of saying, hey, you know, let's forget this. This is crazy. It doesn't mean anything. No, he went public with his comments about how this was all further signs of white racism. And wouldn't you know it, Smith was then reelected as the NFLPA union chief. But let's get back to what else John Gruden noted in those private emails. So he called Demora Smith dumb, said he had big lips. And so I've been thinking, I'm expecting that the next great social and racial slogan in America to begin any day now, it's going to be Big Lips Matter, okay? So now the race crime parade was on, and John Gruden was now cast as Satan incarnate. He noted that he didn't like the league's direction under Goodell, and all of this in reference to the way that the National Football League has emasculated itself ever since this poison known as Roger Goodell became the commissioner of this once great league. It's now anti-white across the board, and it has gone into cesspool mode with so many other things they've done to alienate their longtime fans. For good measure, I don't know if you saw this, just the other day, James, the venerable paper of record, the New York Times, reported that back in 2016, John Gruden had some nasty things to say about Barack Obama. Now, criticizing a president in this country never occurs, as we all know. Obviously, it never does. And if it does happen, then the one-size-fits-all value system we're all supposed to adhere to only allows criticisms of white presidents. Gruden also said in an email, James, that he didn't like the way that Roger Goodell pressured any team in the league several years ago to draft a sexual deviant college football player by the name of Michael Sam. That, of course, was a big no-no. It was also reported that Gruden had the unmitigated temerity to criticize players who knelt for the national anthem, a claim that nobody else in the country would agree with, of course. In another email, Gruden and a few of his buddies, James, exchanged photos of attractive, topless women. This, of course, is a grotesque violation on all counts, all while the left continues to promote this sexually saturated society that we live in, and online porn use in America occurs at a frightening level as we speak.
Good point.
He also had some things to say about our current face of the White House, Joe Biden. I think he referred to Biden as nervous and clueless, which is actually quite charming when you compare and contrast many of the things people in America called Trump for the 4 years that he was the face of the White House. So all of this, and probably more stuff which is yet to be released, is why John Gruden is Satan and no longer the head football coach of a franchise in the league called the Las Vegas Raiders.
Boy, I tell you what, if anybody's broken it down with fact and efficiency, it's Patrick Ryan. We're going to be talking with another Ryan. We're going to bring another Ryan on, Jack Ryan, our regular correspondent who typically touches on matters pertaining to sports, music, movies, pop culture, etc. We actually had an email after Patrick Ryan was on with us a couple of weeks ago. They said, we would love to hear a segment where Patrick Ryan and Jack Ryan talk with one another. So we're going to facilitate that on-air introduction as we continue the conversation about John Gruden. Next, stay tuned, everybody.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
President Biden on Wednesday urged the private sector to help ease supply chain blockages that are threatening to disrupt the U.S. holiday season and beyond. Biden said the Port of Los Angeles would join the Port of Long Beach in expanding round-the-clock operations. The Des Moines Register is reporting Republicans in the Iowa House won a special election Tuesday and claimed the seat that had been held by Democrats in the state for decades. 55-year-old Pastor John Dunwell flipped Iowa House District 29 from blue to red after winning about 60% of the vote. The victory, which marks the second special election win for Republican in recent weeks, gives the party a 60-40 majority in Iowa's House. Guadalupe, California Police Chief Michael Cash helped save the life of a big rig truck driver on Monday as the driver fled the Alyssal fire near Santa Barbara, California. The driver with lacerations to his head is expected to be okay. Cash says it was a humbling moment. USA Radio News.
You take steps to stay healthy when at the pharmacy picking up vitamins or filling a prescription.
May I help you?
Take another healthy step right now and ask the pharmacist how Prevnar 13 can help protect you from pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease. If you're 65 or older, a trip to the pharmacy is a lot more pleasant than a trip to the hospital because of pneumococcal pneumonia. Help protect yourself with the Prevnar 13 pneumococcal 13 valent conjugate vaccine, diphtheria CRM-197 protein. Prevnar 13 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 13 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 13 does not protect against all strains of the disease. Stop by the pharmacy today and ask about Prevnar 13. Learn more at Prevnar13.com. Don't get Prevnar 13 if you have had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with a weakened immune system may have a lower response to the vaccine. The most commonly reported side effect was pain at the injection site. For additional common side effects and full prescribing information, please call 1-866-694-9300 or visit Prevnar13.com.
As an estimated 500,000 cargo containers are waiting to be unloaded at ports in Southern California, President Biden's plan is to ask the private sector to do more and keep the ports open longer.
By increasing the number of late night hours of operation and opening up for less crowded hours when the goods can move faster, today's announcement has the potential to be a game changer.
Biden again refused to answer any questions and walked away from reporters after his statement. Wisconsin Republican Senator Ron Johnson on Fox News.
I have no faith the government is going to help anything out whatsoever.
Arkansas Republican Senator Tom Cotton.
Please. Pete Buttigieg couldn't organize a one-car funeral. He's not going to organize our nation's ports and railroads and highways and airports.
This as inflation continues to crush American bank accounts. From the Trump administration to the Biden administration, almost everything is more expensive. Bacon is up 19%, meat 22% higher, gasoline 42% higher, travel is 20% higher, automobiles is 43% higher. USA Radio News.
Welcome back. Get on the show, call us on James's Dime at
1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody. Patrick Ryan, patrickryanshow.com. We're talking about the John Gruden story. I can't call it a scandal because he really didn't do it. Look, imagine anyone out there, ladies and gentlemen, imagine every email you've ever said, every comment you've ever uttered in private to a friend. Who would pass the litmus now of what constitutes a good person? I dare say not anyone, not even those who are condemning John Gruden this week. People like Aaron Rodgers, people like, well, everybody's being asked about it. When asked about it, DeMaurice Smith, the executive director of the NFL Players Association, says, just goes to show how much more work we have to do. That's another thing you got to remember. You can never curry enough favor. The NFL has totally capitulated, totally become this weak, woke institution. End racism. There's only one. I don't really know what racism is, how you define it. But if there is racial hatred that exists, it exists in the anti-white variety. So they're not talking about ending that. So what in the hell are they talking about? Kneeling for the anthem, these ingrates, these chronic malcontents made multimillionaires off the buck of white fans. And this is what you've got. So Tampa Bay, we mentioned that John Gruden had won a championship as the head coach, won a Super Bowl with Tampa Bay. They have kicked him out of their ring of honor. There's no place in the game for Super Bowl winning championship coaches. They have kicked him out of the Hall of Fame down there in Tampa. Everybody being asked about it, of course, there's only one acceptable answer. If you're asked about it, now a couple of people have tried to sidestep it and no comment, or it's just sad. They're lucky they can get away with that and still have their careers intact. But you know when you're asked about it, it's a litmus test. You had better go all in and condemn Gruden, or you're going to be the next Gruden if you don't tell them exactly what they want to hear when they're asked about it. They don't want an honest answer. They want you to repeat the catechism. So anyway, we have brought now Jack Ryan in to team up with Patrick Ryan, and we're going to make that happen. So we were just talking about in the last segment before the break, Jack, mentioning to Patrick, of course, who you are, a regular weekly contributor, most every week right on this program. A listener commented, we'd like to hear Jack and Patrick go at it about sports. So tell us what you have to say, your response, your reaction to this, Jack, to the Gruden story, and then we'll toss it back to Patrick. Y'all can have a little back and forth. I'll just kind of sit back and listen.
Okay, sounds good. I want to just say hello to my namesake, Patrick Ryan. Imagine if you're doing a sports show in Saudi Arabia where everyone's named Muhammad. You know, you're going to be just like there. But yeah, I heard you the first time on the political festival. I thought you did a great job. And congratulations on being successful, striking out kind of on your own and doing that. My response the John Gruden is it's really bad, but it's not unexpected. That's just the time that we live in. And there were times in the past where people could have privacy in their lives where men would use curse words in a saloon, or fraternity people would say things in the privacy of the fraternity, and people would be happy that just, hey, you know, it's a private world, take it out. We won't want you talking this way in church or in front of ladies or something like that. But this period is just, it's woke, it's terrible, and you should just never grovel. You should never, you know, do that. And in theory, we still have the First Amendment. But in practicality, we're not. We're being persecuted for thought crimes. And then you just see all of the terrible speech in our country, extremely violent movies, the worst forms of hardcore pornography and gangster rap music. Today, the feds did bust some Chicago gangsters that openly murdered another rival gangster that was a rap singer. And so this violent rap music, which is talking about murdering police officers, raping women, killing white people, they can do this all the time, and that's supposedly protected free speech. But if you say something 10 years ago in some email, you're going to get crucified. So, I mean, it is what it is, but I just never apologize for it and stick to your guns, because you are going to get persecuted, and that's life. We can talk more about the football. I just think Americans put waste too much of our time supporting a sport that used to be ours back in the 50s. It was moral, Vince Lombardi, things like that. But it's just, it's a corrupt institution. It's getting to be like gladiatorial games, and as far as I'm going to see it. I think there's just other sports that are better that we can follow. And if your son is interested in the sport, I would just encourage him to do some other sport.
Well, Jack, Patrick, to you. I just want to say thanks to Jack for his kind words, and it's great to make your acquaintance, Jack. You know, James, you mentioned something before that the Buccaneers have made the announcement that they took John Gruden's name off the Ring of Honor. What's ironic about that, and of course we talk about hypocrisies and double standards, and that's also part of this, besides the racial element, the social construct, the all that kind of stuff. While they took John Gruden's name off of the Ring of Honor, they have kept Warren Sapp's name up on the Ring of Honor. And here's a guy who played for the Buccaneers pretty much throughout his entire career, finished his career, ironically enough, with the Raiders. But here's a guy who's been arrested multiple times post-playing career, who has embarrassed and humiliated that organization. But John Gruden's name's got to come down. But Warren Sapp's name remains in the Ring of Honor down in Tampa Bay at their stadium.
Yeah, well, and then again, I mean, I was surprised, gentlemen, to see that the second-tier conservative media, and when I call them second-tier, I mean, they're second-tier in terms of, I'm talking about your big league politics, your Breitbart, your Matt Walsh, your Charlie Kirk. They're second-tier in terms of, well, they don't have the audience that necessarily that the big boys do, but of course neither do we, but they're also second tier to us in so much as they don't speak the whole truth. They are sort of trying to latch on and being a little bit more brave than they normally are. For them, it's quite brave that they have actually defended Gruden through this, and they've made the comparisons to Sapp and to Richard Sherman and to, you know, you pick your thug in the NFL, there's no shortage of them, and compared their transgressions to the imagined transgressions of Gruden. I was actually quite pleasantly surprised to an extent to see them doing that. Have you picked up on that at all, Patrick?
Yeah, of course I have. Yeah, and in reference to something that Jack mentioned about the degeneracy of this country and the filth and as I mentioned before, the porn and stuff like that. I mean, if you we get back to values, and I can't stand that word, because as I've been noting on my shows lately with regularity and consistency, that there's this one size fits all value system that the global elite have told us. This is what you say, this is what you think, this is what you feel, this is what to stay away from, this is what you advocate for, this is what you fight against. I don't pay that any homage at all. I live life on my own terms and will deal with the consequences and the ramifications of however I have to, based upon my own decision-making and the way that I feel that I should go about things. Life is not going to dictate the rules of engagement to me. I'm not going to go along to get along with rules and regulations that were made up that I had nothing to do with to begin with. But in reference to something that you said, James, and what Jack said earlier, I mean, we talk about NFL values. They love to cite these values, and John Gruden is not representative of NFL values. Well, the filth and the lyrics and the catalog of songs and their meanings that's in store for anyone who decides to watch this year's upcoming Super Bowl halftime show, which has stated that it will be the biggest halftime show featuring black culture in the history of the game, juxtaposed against the emails that John Gruden sent privately and now have been made public. If you compare and contrast John Gruden's emails with the lyrics and the actions of those that are going to appear on the stage of football's biggest game, the Super Bowl, in February of 2021, John Gruden's email statements, feelings, and considerations is like he's singing in a Sunday Baptist a church choir as compared to, you know, what we're going to see in the Super Bowl and the halftime show coming up in February of 2021. It makes no sense. It's hypocritical. It's double standards. It is such a joke across the board. Anybody who takes this seriously really needs to seek mental health help as soon as they can.
Just their blanket support of the homosexual agenda. The 49ers had that assistant coach, that lesbian, and they made her out to be like the next Lombardi or Tom Landry. You know, it was just such a wonderful thing, such historic and brown gray. I mean, sodomy and buggery and this perversion, is that's healthy and wholesome. But Gruden saying female referees are a joke is you know, worthy of the entire dehumanizing treatment he's received. That's it doesn't quite add up. Jack, before we go to break, and we're going to go to break any second, a quick word to you, and we'll bring it back to you as we talk. We transition into professional boxing, Tyson Fury in the next segment. Capstone on this conversation.
Okay, Jack, well, this is another area that is, I think, a big problem of our people, is we keep allegiances to institutions that used to be ours, but have changed and have gone against it. So I know Americans of the older generation. They love that NFL of the 1950s, the Vince Lombardi, the NFL films. There's that Kipling poem I was going to hope we were going to feature. And it was a part of patriotic America where boys became men and like the army. But that's just, it's changed. It's just like the Democratic Party was the Southern Party for 100 years. But it, then in the 60s, it changed to that of Jacob Javits and Jesse Jackson. And who was that? Marion Barry, that crack cocaine guy from Washington, D.C. If an institution goes against us, we shouldn't worship it. And I'm sorry, but the NFL is, and SEC football has gone against us. So I'm not going to spend my life worshiping these people.
We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about Tyson Fury. We'll get the two Ryans to talk about that, Patrick and Jack, respectively. That fight was going on last week when we were live. What's happened?
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Want to remind you again, everybody, to check out PatrickRyanShow.com. That is www.PatrickRyanShow.com. Patrick has a great feature there where not only is he doing his radio show, but he does it where you can watch it. You can watch it. He's got a camera set up in the studio, and it's actually kind of cool. I think it's a cool feature. Even after all these years, we haven't done that. It's others have done it as well. Limbaugh did it. I mean, it's not necessarily uncommon now, but I like it. I think it adds a little bit of, makes you feel like you're in the company, I guess you could say. But anyway, PatrickRyanShow.com. I'm there right now. I'm literally looking as I speak at the countdown timer until his next show. So you've got that. So you'll never forget when a show starts. You've got the countdown timer. You don't want to miss one. So, Jack, this thing with Gruden, I think the establishment believes that these heavy-handed, oppressive, totalitarian tactics keeps everybody in line, but that's not what the polls are suggesting. The Republican base, the Trump base, the Trump voters, they're radicalizing, and I don't see this ending well. I don't see this ending well at all, but, you know, I don't want to stop my enemies from continually making mistakes, but this, I think there is a slow boil going on right underneath the surface of America with tens of millions of people simmering, and one day they're going to blow, and we'll see what happens. But let's talk about Tyson Fury, if we could shift gears very quickly. Jack, tell us what we were talking about last week. I think the fight was literally taking place simultaneously as we broadcast a part of that third hour last week. Tell us why we're interested in it, and of course we want to toss it over to Patrick Ryan himself.
I thought it was one of the greatest fights in my lifetime. And not just the fight, but the trilogy, the three fights between Wilder and Fury. They're reminiscent between the great fights between Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier back in the 1970s. And just that Tyson Fury is just an excellent boxer. He looks a little bit awkward, but he's got tremendous size, speed and power. He's 6'9", 270 pounds, and he's a good boxer. He uses all the weapons, and he's got a tremendous chin. And that people think that Wilder has the strongest knockout right hand in the history of boxing, and Wilder's knocked down Fury four times in his three fights. This was a classic fight, and I think the boxing establishment amongst the United States boxing establishment and internationally just handled this very, very well. There was good sportsmanship all around. Wilder did very, very good. He started well, but Fury was just too good for him. And I think that Fury is now one of the top two British heavyweight boxers of all time, along with Lennox Lewis. And he knows how to play the game. He knows how to deal with the boxing establishment. He knows not to get suckered into racial problems. He used a great trainer that was, I think, the son or a relative of Emanuel Stewart. He used Sugar Hill. He had to use American trainers instead of bringing over his British crew. But just a tremendous boxing event and just a tremendous champion. I think our people should really get behind Tyson Fury. Plus, he's a good guy. He's married. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got six healthy children. And he knows how to play the game. He's a champion. He's the heavyweight champion of the world. He's the best in the world. I think that's great.
All right, Patrick, your comments on this, because if I understand correctly, and I haven't followed boxing as closely as some of the sports, of course, Tyson Fury has always been an athlete that has interested me. We were talking about this last week, a two-part question, and you can take them in any order you'd like. But number one, observations we made last week, the amount of coverage that heavyweight boxing gets now has waned considerably from the 90s when it was so big with Tyson and Holyfield and some of these other characters. Now that you have white heavyweight champions, it's not getting nearly the amount of play. Is it because of the racial angle, in your opinion, Patrick, or is it because of the proliferation of MMA, sort of stealing some of the oxygen out of the room? That's one question. And number two, I think, if you can keep these two straight, I think it's an interesting case study between Gruden and Tyson Fury, because Tyson Fury has had no shortage of what we would call based comments as well in the press over the years. He's still allowed to box and still allowed to win. So what's going on there in that two-part question? Where would you like to go, Patrick?
Well, I'm a fan of the history of boxing more so than the contemporary scene. And in regard to what Jack said about the trilogy and how it reminded him of Ali and Frazier, I would have to respectfully disagree a little bit with that, because back then, during that time that Frazier and Ali were going at it, I mean, that was the halcyon days of the squared circle, because you had heavyweight after heavyweight that were so name recognizable, and the competition, the competitive aspect of the heavyweight division was so intense at that time. And Ali and Frazier really transcended the times. It was something that was, I don't think we'll ever see again. Now, I'm not saying that the Fury and Deontay Wilder thing didn't provoke interest. It certainly did. I'm a fan of Fury, as Jack is. I find him to be utterly refreshing. But I also think that people may not want to admit this. Well, maybe some people will. You know, I often say on my shows that I'm more racially conscious and more racially aware now than ever before. I didn't choose to be this way. This was a war that was waged against me, and it's compelled me to respond and become more racially aware and more racially conscious. I probably would have, even if there was not all of this anti-white rhetoric and anti-white propaganda and anti-white themed messaging and this war against white America, I probably would have been going for fury anyway. But if I'm going to be candid with you, and I am, James, and with your audience, that meant more to me because a white guy won that. And it's a sad commentary in some ways. But yes,
I read you. I read you.
There was a large component of me that wanted to see Fury win that fight because he was white and Deontay Wilder was black. The press, academia, Hollywood, sports, everyone in this country wanted to see Wilder win because Negro worship in this country has never been at the unprecedented levels that it is right now. I think this is an established fact. But I'm glad that he won the fight, and I thought it was an exciting fight. And what was the second part of your question?
Okay, so the question was, compare and contrast the fact that Fury is allowed to continue to box and predominate as a champion,
yeah,
even though he has said things in his past that I think are even perhaps more controversial than Gruden, and has boxing lost some of its luster because the names aren't as big or because of MMA? This was a follow-up question.
I think that the heavyweight division being so blasé over multiple decades now has hastened its downfall and its lack of interest. The lighter weight divisions have really taken over, and MMA, yes, I think coupled in with that, I'm not an MMA fan at all. In fact, I abhor it. I don't watch it. It doesn't interest me at all. But if you're an individual athlete, the point I make on my shows, James, if you're an individual athlete, if you're a tennis player, if you're a boxer, if you're a golfer, then you can get up on whatever soapbox you want and you can say the things that you want to say, and the personal injury and the restrictions will not be nearly as severe as if you are a player in the National Football League or any of the other three major professional sports leagues in this country. So
that is an interesting observation there. Standalone athletes like boxers and golfers.
Yeah, Ali is Jack mentioned Ali. Ali is a prime example of that. I mean, you know, Ali called Joe Frazier a gorilla. Could you imagine today one boxer calling another boxer a gorilla and getting away with it?
Well, black people can get away with using the N-word. There's that great comedy routine by Chris Rock where he delineates the differences between black Americans and these N people. It's hilarious, but they can say things that we can. I would say that about Tyson Fury. He has been politically incorrect in the past from a more traditional Christian Catholic. He made disparaging comments about certain homosexuals, but he's been very, very careful never to make disparaging comments about black Americans. His father named him after Mike Tyson.
Right.
He's worked very hard to cultivate respect within the boxing community, which the boxing community in the United States is very, very black, where in Europe and the British, it's more open to other people. And so that's been the success of Tyson Fury and Joe Calzaghe, is they started their career in Great Britain. They were promoted by Frank Warren, who is a white British promoter. They do give opportunities for black British fighters, but the American boxing world was dominated for a very, very long time by this black gangster racist individual, Don King. And he would not give white American fighters promote them and like. And so I think if you want to make it in this boxing world, you should go to Europe or Great Britain, just as like if you want to be a big actor, celebrity, you have to go to New York or Hollywood. That's just the reality. So Fury, he started there, but he made his big bucks on marquee fights in the United States, where Calzaghe did at the end too. So that's the way to go. But that guy is just fantastic. He knows to play the game. He plays to win, and he knows how to handle the press, which is a minefield. But so far, he's avoided stepping on a minefield that will, you know, hurt or destroy his career.
Ladies and gentlemen, just want to remind you that this broadcast is sponsored in part, as always, by thekosherquestion.com. Eat in favor of your own interest for a change. Thekosherquestion.com. Jared Taylor, Kevin McDonald still on deck later tonight. But I want to thank again the Ryan brothers, Jack and Patrick, patrickryanshow.com. What a guy. And I don't remember the name of the listener who suggested we pair you two up, but I think it was a great suggestion. Patrick, final word to you. Seconds remain.
I love the political cesspool. I love James Edwards. You do great work. You do courageous work. You're a conviction-oriented, principled man, and I have the utmost of respect and admiration for you, James. Jack, I am thrilled to have met you here. Hopefully someday I can meet you in person, and it's been great conversing with you and exchanging thoughts.
I'd be honored.
I'm going to put y'all in touch after this. And, Patrick, I got to call you this weekend off the air. We've got some plans to make. We've got to work more closely together. I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you as well. Everything you said is 100% reciprocated. And then some. PatrickRyanShow.com, Jared and Kevin, two main states coming up. Thank you, Jack. Talk to you next week. Stay tuned, everybody else. We'll be right back. Radio Network.